Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to part two of the Stompcast. Emma and I are walking away, enjoying a rain-free day in Victoria Park. We've got the canal boats to our left. It's a beautiful park really, isn't it, Victoria? It's a lovely place to come for a little wander.
It's really big, and I think that just expansiveness of feeling like you're not trapped in a city.
It's nice. It's the beauty of actually being... You know, we're very lucky to be, when we're in London and, you know, many of the other cities across the country, that we do really protect the parks, and I think we should, you know, at all costs, really. We must protect our green spaces. I put it this, if there wasn't green spaces in London, I wouldn't live here. It's an absolute non-negotiable for me. There's no way I could live just in a concrete place. I need that green space.
And when people think of London, they're like, oh, couldn't live there, thinking that you live in Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I saw a swan today.
Thank goodness we don't live in Piccadilly Circus, that's for sure. I was funny enough in Soho last night and I was like, this is fine to go for dinner for an hour or so, but get me home. This is chaos. Let's talk in part two now about this idea of success. Your latest book, you've talked about success in a very kind of, I think, a new age way, or a new mindset of success, which I love, which is less perhaps about career-defined, you know, succeeding, doing more, the kind of extreme capitalism, I think, that we experience in this country. We talk about things like profiteering often, or looking for extreme profit in the sense of big companies. You think of the big companies, they're doing this, but actually in our own lives, we're constantly going for more, mm-hmm. more. What does success mean to you? Why did you write about this topic? And what takeaways can we consider, I guess?
Well, it's something I've been thinking about for a while, but I think the pandemic really hammered home this new shift that, you know, people are seeing culturally, with like the great resignation and the way that people realize that, you know, if they've got their basics met and they can pay their bills and they've got, you know, a level of safety in their lives, like, why are we told we have to keep going up and up and up the ladder? What does enough look like? What do we actually want? How do we like feel successful rather than look successful? That was a really big one for me. I was definitely on that treadmill of looking really successful, like people would from the outside go, wow, look at what you're doing. And actually I was quite miserable and a bit lost and just addicted to that outside validation. And since I've completely shifted, done a bit of a U-turn, I've never been happier, and I have less money, but I have more time, and I have more time for my friends. I have less to post about on Instagram, but I've never felt more successful because I'm really tuning in with what I want. So yeah, the book is sort of a helpful guide really to go, right, what can you strip away? What's no longer serving you really?
Well, I think an interesting place to start then with that thought, or it's a bit, perhaps could you paint a picture of, I know this is not as simple as before and after, and that's, you know, but forgive me for that kind of view of it. You know, if you look back to when you were perhaps much more traditional success focused versus kind of this new success idea, what does that look like to really kind of paint that picture? And what does it feel like, I think, importantly as well?
Well, I think the traditional success route is very much you're being led by society's definition of what we're supposed to want. So it was the book, the first chapter in the book is me in 2018, when I met the Queen through something that I was working on. I did a TED talk. I got on the Forbes 30 under 30 list, and like all these, you know, accolades that everyone was praising me for. And that was the year that I was really not good. Like, I'd let my health go. I was a really bad friend to people. I didn't really like what I saw reflected back. Like, I just felt really disconnected from myself, and I wasn't working on any creative projects. I was just really in that churn and in that sort of give me a gold badge mindset. And it took me a few years to get out of it. I was really trapped in it. So I guess the book really, I mean, also I interviewed nearly 500 people for Control or Delete podcast about work. And what I found was these successful people, like Oscar winners and famous people or whatever, they all felt like they hadn't really reached their goal too. And just felt like it was all a bit made up. Like, what is success, really?
It's interesting. I've referenced this once or twice, but Joshua Patterson, I had him on the podcast, and he did 76 marathons, 76 days, raising money for Samaritans. And he had this goal of raising a million. He raised 400,000 and felt that he'd failed.
Oh, wow.
Which to me, when you hear that, you think like, I actually said to him, I was like that is, you're crazy. That's such an amount of money.
Mm.
But I think even then he could have still felt a bit like, oh, yeah, but I wanted to do a million. Yeah. And it's fascinating. It's a really interesting insight into our ideas of like, success. It's like I've only achieved if I cross that finish line. Yeah. I've drawn for myself over there. Anything short of that is failure.
That's kind of black and white
thinking. It's like black and white thinking, isn't it? It's that kind of extreme black and white thinking. I've either achieved absolute success or I'm an absolute failure.
Yes, that's so true.
So how does this compare to now? And perhaps if you could paint a bit of a picture of your week now, because when you say do less, what do you mean? So what do you do? Because you're present in all your 24 hours. Mm. So how do you spend your time now?
Well, I mean, I do the things that I would have said, like, future me can do when I've earned all my brownie points.
Mm.
Like, you know, that sort of thing of, like, when I retire. It's like, what if we don't get there? Like, I just feel like I live my life now like I would if I... in this dream fantasy that I have for myself. Like, so many of us are like, okay, yeah, I don't have time to like read a novel, but I'll do that when I've done all this other stuff. And I guess it's back to that conversation about time. It's like, but we only have now.
Mm.
So my day is now. I mean, obviously I work enough to, you know, get by and do what I need to do. And our level of enough will probably change from person to person. Like, I know people that really just don't need that much to be happy, and some people are like, actually I want to go out to restaurants 5 times a week. So it's like, that's personal, but I worked out what I needed, and as long as I'm meeting that, everything else is really a bonus. I'm not setting myself up for these like lofty heights and award ceremonies, and you know, I've really let all of that stuff go. You know, I'm writing my second novel, which is taking up a lot of headspace. I turn down speaking gigs. I don't work with corporations really much anymore. I make money through my newsletter on Substack, where my readers fund my writing. And
which will lead, by the way, make sure you check out the link for that will be in the.
That's called the hyphen.
So make sure you do check that out.
So yeah, it's just a much more mellow way of working. And I interviewed a lot of people for the Success Myth who had turned down promotions in their jobs, and this idea of taking on less because the rewards for your mental health is much more. And obviously we need money, we work in a, you know, the culture is run by money, it's our main currency, we can throw money at problems, like we need money. But I wanted to open up that conversation around, what if you took another job that paid you slightly less with, you know, ways that you could maybe go up the ladder more if you wanted to, but the actual lifestyle you have is 100 times better. There are many ways to think of a job or work beyond just pay and things like that.
It's really interesting because you're going to hear an episode where I've recorded with a financial advisor who's got a huge amount of wealth experience, and the interesting thing is often people think about like financial advice as like making more money, but actually the really interesting theme that I think you'll pull from that is actually the whole point is actually to work less, have more time for living and making money. I know it's a very cliche thing, but make money work for you a bit better, so that you can actually have your life. It's not actually about a life of excess, of like lots of money, lots of things. It's actually looking like, how do I actually get back the most valuable thing which I have, which is time.
Which is time.
Which is time, isn't it? So it is the most precious thing. And of course, like we all have to work. I mean, and you're not for a second suggesting we have to work, we have, you know, whatever capacity, you still need to do things at times you don't want to do, it's called life. But it's thinking of the why, I guess, and especially if that why is I want to be successful, these different accolades, it's like, at what cost? And does that actually make you happy when you achieve it? Are you going to be happy when you've achieved that promotion that you want.
It's such a big topic.
And you might be
it?
As well. It's not just for people that you won't be, but it's just really digging into the why, isn't it?
Yeah, and also looking at your outgoings. Like, we are told to have so many things now. We're told to have the latest designer bag. We're told to have, you know, a garden. We're told to have all this fancy stuff for our children. It's like there's a lot of people who, me included back then, where I would be earning really good money, but then I'd be spending it all. And so actually the take-home money was very little anyway. So it's like, it's sort of not really about how much you're earning, it's sort of how you're living. And that's what I was really interested in as well, about how not to get caught up in, you know, fritting away all this money on things that actually doesn't really add any value to your life at all. But we're living in an age of Instagram adverts, so it's very hard to get out of that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
How do you get out of it then? So how did you change that? You know, you have had, which you still, of course, should be very proud of, many accolades and things you've achieved and recognition of different things and so on. How do you step away from that and let go? Because it's actually, it sounds good, but it can be quite hard to go, okay, I'm going to like let go of that and not care. I'm not going to care like too much about like being the very best at this, or you know, I'm not going to worry about how many likes I've got on the Instagram. I'm really let go. It sounds easier than perhaps it is. Do you have any advice for that?
Well, to be honest, it really depends on each individual person. Like, I just know how I did it and how I felt, but it's what are you going to sacrifice for what you say you want? What are you going to give up? Are you going to give up, you know, your fancy gym membership and go to a less nice gym in order to have Fridays off? Or are you going, you know, what are you going to sacrifice so that you can sit on a Thursday afternoon and read a novel? Because it might be sacrificing certain work projects. You know, it's really sort of that chessboard thing of just like, what is going to work for me and my life? And everyone is so different and has different commitments. So there's not a one size fits all at all.
And it is, you know, from because I think of it, we talked in part one, obviously, about multi-hyphenate living, and I think, for me, I think one of the things I've definitely, it's an active current thing, I have to look at is that, you know, making sure that you don't transcend, if you are someone who likes to do lots of different things, into that hustle space. And I'm very quick to say to people, like, they say, oh, you do all this stuff. Yes, because I have a team of people that work on the different projects, we do all this stuff. It's very, very important. And actually, over the last couple of years, I've gained way more time back in my life than I used to have. So I used to, you know, throughout the pandemic, I was working 18 hours a day between getting up in the morning, doing radio, TV, driving to work, doing radio and TV and lunch break, filming stuff, videos, writing my book in the evening. It was ridiculous. Now, as largely as possible, I work 9 to 5 and I have weekends off. Not all the time. If I want to take a Friday, I'll take a Friday, right? So it's improved a lot, even though you might see that I do more. And so I think it is a bit of a thing to realize as well, not look at other people and go like, they're actually hustling. It may well be other things at play. Maybe there's a bigger team that's doing things as well. And that comparison risk, I guess, isn't it? Like, if you get into this comparison with others, then suddenly you're comparing yourself to someone else and you're automatically starting on the wrong footing because you have no idea what their life is, right?
Totally. I mean, this is a massive part of it, to be honest, is I don't really use social media anymore, really. Like, I unfollowed everything on Instagram. I didn't want to have to keep on top of like who I was following. I've got a separate private Instagram for my friends and family. It's like 100 people on there. Don't use Twitter anymore. Have to cut it all out in order to make sense of what you want. And last year I took some time off because I was really burnt out, reassessed everything. And I think a lot of this is like getting that self-confidence to, like I was saying, sort of feel good about yourself at the end of the day, even if you externally don't really have anything to show for it. Like, you've had a good day, you've been productive, you've sent all your emails, you've cleaned your flat, you don't have to really tell anyone that you've done that. So I think for me, it's more stepping away from just constantly being connected as well.
You do hear a lot about external validation. It's something that people hear about a lot the last couple of years, but actually, you know, it is something to really spend a bit of time thinking about, because we're living in a world of like dopamine driven external validation space. Like if it was an instant, it didn't happen. The risk is that, you know, we basically lose the skill of just sitting comfortably with the quiet warmth of the knowledge of what we've done.
Yeah.
You know, like I think when I was younger, of cutting the grass for my parents, right? Cut the lawn and you finish it, and you know, you're getting for that. You just kind of like, you're happy that you've done it. I'll post on Instagram like, bam, I've cut the grass. You just feel good that you've done it, right? Like, you know, our job as kids in autumn was to, you know, to rake up the leaves and things. And we'd rake up the leaves, bag them up and chuck them. We loved it. It was good fun, you know? But you get that feeling of like accomplishment and feeling good from it.
Yeah.
Whereas now everything does kind of feel like it needs to be, have some sort of recognition externally to been a valid experience of I'm proud of myself.
It's just exhausting. Like even, you know, having to have the latest gym workout kit, I'm just like, why aren't we just being a bit more gentle with ourselves and be like, I'm just gonna do, like I do this like gentle yoga with I can't remember her surname, yoga with Adrian. But she's like, just put on a really baggy jumper and like get a blanket and you basically just do this sort of gentle movement. Like there's no like, right, I'm going to upload my positions for other people to like them. It's like I'm just doing it for me. And I think it's like you say, like really stripping back to the basics and really being grateful for what you have. I think like gratitude is a huge part of the success myth, which is if we're constantly wanting more and wanting to add to the pile, we completely just disregard everything that we have. Like even the fast fashion industry, like I just basically sold all my clothes on Vinted and
then
bought like a few items. I just want to kind of
Like quality over quantity.
Yeah,
and things
just,
that last.
Definitely. And just strip everything away and look more at sort of secondhand
stuff. Is that liberating? Does it feel liberating to let go of that stuff?
It feels really liberating. And like I'm not at all perfect. I there are so many things I need to work on and look at. But I think I wrote the book because it was like this kind of collective ick at like what we also are kind of doing to the planet. And just if we all whittle down and be a bit more conscious of just how we're living and not going into this success overdrive, maybe that could be better for everyone.
And do you think, so on that point of gratitude, you know, is gratitude part of the antidote? Like what do you think is the key things to focus on if you're going to try and tackle some of that success thing? Like some of it I think is, you know, the why and so on, but what are the kind of ways that you can kind of counteract it? I do think gratitude is certainly one of them, isn't it?
I really think it's about getting to know yourself. We are so distracted and so disconnected from our bodies in this culture of just endless advertisement, endless scrolling, endless comparison. I really think this is why this book is quite hard to talk about, because this isn't a like, here's my three-step guide to success. This is what do you literally want from your life? Like, are you living your life by your parents' rules? Are you living your life by your boss's rules?
Fascinating. Yeah.
Have you decided to be this person because all these people have told you to be it? And it's this dismantling really of your identity a bit of like, for me, my success genuinely is like getting paid to write and reading a book every now and again. Like, honestly, that's so basic, but that's my definition of success. So I get to wake up in the morning and sort of tick that box and be like, I think the whole message of the book is like, you can decide whether you've succeeded or not in your life. And it's just a really
so
nice
true.
Feeling.
Goes back to that point we were saying earlier about the internal reality. It's actually what you decide. You know, you can do a million different things and go, right, I'm successful. Or you could do a few things that say you enjoy or physical tasks in the day and go, I am successful. The end result is the same.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but one, it might lead to extreme burnout. The other is a much more balanced and an actually enjoyable way of living. It is interesting, isn't it? Way of thinking of it. It's kind of like, literally, we design our own success, right? Beyond when you've hit your kind of hierarchical needs and things like that, everything above is kind of a bonus, right?
Yeah, and that's why the burnout thing is so interesting that you brought that up about how you could burn out by being obviously an NHS doctor working like 52 hour days, like or whatever.
Yeah.
That absolutely, but you can also burn out by not working very much but completely stressing yourself out over tiny things.
Yeah. And being in the wrong place. Like your skill set, your mental stuff, like just being putting your energy into the wrong place can be absolutely exhausting. Like, you're pushing, you know, that feeling of pushing a rock up the hill constantly.
Yes, absolutely. And with a lot of the coaching that I do, it's all about not pushing that away and really embracing that reality of, you are tired, this is not good for you, this is the truth. Your body is telling you the truth. There's nothing wrong with you when you go into work and want to cry. That's something that we need to look at and go, that's actually how you feel. And it's really invalidating people's feelings and saying they're real.
So it's kind of looking internally and going, it's kind of like a gut instinct. You don't think or feel things are right, then perhaps things aren't. And that's perhaps less about you and more about the scenario, or I guess the way that you're seeing and feeling this situation kind of through. It's fascinating. I honestly think the success, like, conversation is so interesting. I do wonder, when you look at the next kind of like 10, 15 years, what will it look like? Will people still be as obsessed with hustling?
Yeah.
Are people going to be looking at more basic ways just to live a good life?
Just rest more. Yeah, and I find it interesting through like the gendered lens as well, because my book, there are some bits in there about sort of like feminism and the way women have been told to live and stuff like that. But I'm also really interested in like men and how they've been told that they need to be a certain type of successful and provide, you know, all these like sort of toxic traits that we've put onto men, that they have to earn a certain level for them to, you know, have lived up to whatever they're meant to live up to. And it's like, at that, I want to take a hammer to and be like, no one has to do that.
You see these awful TikToks where it's like, how much does a guy have to earn for you to date him?
And oh,
like,
it's my
just,
God.
And you like hear people saying, A, ridiculous sums, but secondly, kind of just really kind of, it's just kind of frightening just to see that whole thought process, really. You're just kind of like, it's just so problematic, I guess. You know, that, I think the whole landscape for men is a really interesting one, because we need to kind of validate masculinity in a way that is healthy and provides good role models, healthy concepts of
for sure
what it means to be masculine, have that evolve a bit as well. It doesn't have to be like the old, there's not only one way that you can be a man, you know?
Totally.
That kind of view of things. It's really interesting. So, I mean, guys, check out the book, and have a think, I guess, you know, my takeaway from it, at least from what you've said, is just to really think about, like, what does success actually mean to you? And what does that mean in the context of your wider life? And if you're at the moment doing all these different things, you're burning out, like, is it really worth it? And is it perhaps time to think of a new way to view success and moving towards a more internal state, I guess, of validation? That's kind of what I take away from
Yeah, that. I love that. And also, like, what are the tiny steps you can do to set better boundaries? You know, maybe you don't have to overhaul your entire life overnight, but you could, you know, tell someone that you don't reply to emails past a certain time, or that Friday's afternoon is for you to work on your creative project, or just really tiny little changes, I think, can make you feel more successful. Because my other theory is that we feel successful when we're listening to ourselves.
That's so true. That's a powerful way to end the episode, or this part of the episode. Right, guys, we'll see you very soon in part three. So this is the end of part two. We're going to be talking about your fiction book, actually. And particularly, I want to talk about a character, or a concept from the character, around living without children, or deciding not to have children, and exploring that, I think, for men and for women, and what it might look like in the future. Do we need to be as afraid? Should we be worried? Let's catch up in part three. See you soon.